This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And jumping right in, joining us via technology from somewhere out west is Jeff Reynolds, senior editor at RestorationNews.com. Where are you, Jeff? What are you doing?
I'm actually in Pacific time zone now. It's really weird for me. Yeah, third time in the last 5 years, and yeah. The time zone's messing with me. But I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am here at Freedom Fest, so this is my second time at Freedom Fest, and I'm having an absolute blast.
I love that, and of course, you are a Florida man, so I have to say, I bet the dry desert heat is a relief from the soppy, wet humidity of Florida.
It really is, man. You wouldn't believe it, but 115 in Vegas feels more comfortable than 98 and a heat index of 110 in 90% humidity, Florida.
I believe it. And for everybody who's not experienced East Coast humidity, just trust us on this.
Well, there's East Coast humidity and then there's Florida humidity.
That's true.
Those are two entirely different things. East Coast is bad enough, but my goodness.
Well, with yours, you got giant bugs to go along with it. So,
And snakes and alligators and bears. And we had a cougar sighting in our neighborhood. All kinds of fun stuff.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Well, you're out here in the Pacific time zone right now. So Freedom Fest, I saw when you were going to head out there. I haven't done a lot of traveling I used to do that a lot. I haven't done as much, so I'm a little bit jealous. So tell us a little bit about what's going on at Freedom Fest.
Yo, it's a lot of fun. I just finished up watching a talk by Patrick Byrne, the founder of Overstock.com.
Oh, wow.
And that was interesting because he talked about how Overstock was just a cover. And he was a CIA asset, an international asset.
What?
And he's got a book and a movie out about it. I didn't even know about that. And so I actually have arranged where I'm going to be able to do an interview with him as soon as we're done on the radio here. So
it's funny. I used to shop Overstock.com all the time.
Yeah. No, it was a cover, and he flipped. When Brennan and Comey wanted him to participate in the Russia collusion hoax.
Fascinating. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got all kinds of stories about that. So that's a lot of fun. He set up a sting, and set them up to fall, so all kinds of stuff.
It's funny. I've seen other interviews with him. I'm jealous of that. You got an interview with him too. So I'm looking forward to that. So when that drops, we'll share it with everybody too. Because again, I remember Overstock.com back from like the early 2000s. I think it was kind of big, and I would go out. I love bargains. My mother's daughter, she's from New York. You can't take the price at face value. So I always love bargains.
No, you got to hang. Yeah.
So what else, I always love these conferences because there's always really amazing panel discussions, and I've met so many cool people over the years as well. So who else is there, and what are some of the panels?
So it's very interesting. This year they are really hammering COVID as a infringement on freedom. And I was here 2 years ago, and I don't even remember it being that prominent then. But this year, for some reason, it has reemerged as a topic of discussion. I think because of the MAHA movement and the Make America Healthy and the medical freedom movement, it that has not faded. It's actually grown in a lot more people are aware of what needs to be done to fix the system we're in. So I think that's a real strong theme here. I've sat in on a couple of panels with comedians like Lou Perez, who's been on Gutfeld. And they had a comedy show last night, featured Rob Schneider. That was a lot of fun. They've got a film festival here, liberty-based films. It's a libertarian conference, right? It's not Republican, but it's it's liberty-based. And the other thing that I was able to accomplish is I got an article started based on a panel that I had just watched with Clifton Duncan, Rob Schneider, and Dean Cain. That was a lot of fun.
Superman is there.
Yes, Superman is there. Yes. And I was standing right next to him at one point, actually. Rob Schneider pointed out that the studio system in Hollywood is completely imploding. It's completely collapsing. And so I took the nuggets of information that he dropped in his talk and put them into Grok and said, hey, write me a 750-word starter article on what's going on in Hollywood. And it gave me sources. It took about a minute and a half and wrote me an article, you know, a starter article. I'm going to go in and retool it to my voice but it's my prompts, right? I went in and talked to them, refined some of the requests and got some new data and added some color to it. And it came back with basically something I would have written. And so now I've saved myself, a couple of hours of research time and a couple of hours of writing time. And I can bang this out by the end of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a tool that we need to harness and to learn how to use. It saved me time on that. And again, your caveat at the beginning, it's your prompts, it's you telling you that. So that's good. And it saves you a ton of time. If you do remember Google searches from back in the day, like last week, I mean, you would then get a list that you would have to cull through. And so this just kind of shortens and truncates that timeline.
That's exactly right. I instead of having to read every article that it pulls up in search and see if it's useful for my purposes or not, and if I can quote it or not, Grok does it for me in a minute and a half.
Well,
in a minute and a half.
Oh, well, and of course, a Google search means that you're seeing what they want you to see. And it goes back to you saying that, COVID wasn't as big of a topic 2 years ago. I go, well, 2 years ago, the administration at the time, you could still theoretically be canceled for making a big deal out of COVID or the responses to it.
Sure, that's exactly right. And that's been a big theme at Freedom Fest, too, is, the freedom of speech, the freedom of information, the democratization of information, more peer-to-peer, decentralized. That's why they're big on Bitcoin and that sort of thing, precious metal asset investment, that kind of thing. Because it's not relying on the centralized institutions for whatever resource you need, information or wealth or whatever.
I just remember back in the day, I remember, it was probably 2012, 2013. I think it was like the first BlogCon I had gone to and marveling at how you could just reach right out. I remember my dad at the time, you mean I can just tweet at Bill O'Reilly and he'll talk with me? Yeah. You're interested. And so he just thought that was the coolest thing. So I got him a Twitter account.
Is that the one we went to in Cincinnati?
No, that was the one we went to in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then Cincinnati was another one. We've been doing this for a long time.
We've been to all the sexy places.
I know. Remember the steakhouse.
yes, the Brazilian steak. That place was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. Let's go ahead and take a break because I want to dig a little bit deeper into Rob Schneider, that panel in Hollywood, because we talk about that a lot. And as far as sort of the democratization of that and how it really is changing the landscape in Hollywood. And in my opinion, for the better. So again, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds, senior editor at restoration.news.com, restoration-news.com. Come on back on the other side.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, we're talking today with Jeff Reynolds, senior editor at Restoration News, who is in Vegas. Is everything that's happening in Vegas going to stay in Vegas, Jeff?
Well, yeah.
They are libertarians,
That's true, but they are also tight-lipped, they don't trust easily.
So we were talking before the break about a panel discussion there, Rob Schneider kind of and Dean Cain, and I'm sorry, I forget the other gentleman's name, but
Duncan.
Thank you. Talking about the Hollywood system, and Hunter, you and I have talked, and I think probably Jeff in one of our segments, about, these YouTubers, these guys, the movie Obsession, which I'm so happy is now streaming, which I'm going to watch this weekend. Another one is Back Rooms. And then sort of Angel Studios has put out Young Washington, which is getting rave reviews and just kicking butt at the box office. Meanwhile, you've got Supergirl. Sad trombone for Supergirl. So was there talk about that, how the landscape is changing, how you don't necessarily need to be well connected? You can just kind of come at it with a modest budget and a bit of a YouTube following and some skills, and you can put out something that's going to be a hit.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly. So those three gentlemen had a panel discussion last night, and they talked about how you know, they've all been canceled. Clifton Duncan, if you don't know, is a black actor from New York who does a one-man show on Thomas Sowell.
Oh gosh, really?
Yeah, you really need to check out his podcast. Okay. He's great. Okay. He's awesome. But and it was Dean Cain and you know, a proud conservative, mm-hmm. and Rob Schneider, and you know, they were all talking about how they've been canceled from their entertainment job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And Schneider brought this up as sort of a throwaway tangent, but it was really profound to me. He was saying that Sony is starting to sell off all its properties, its franchises, and that the sound stages in Hollywood are empty.
Yep.
They're not being used. Wow. And I looked this up via Grok, and mm-hmm. it turns out that they're underutilized by like 2/3. Like nothing's going on in the studios. And so one of the things that is fascinating about this whole trend, Hollywood overall happens to be about $32 billion in debt. So they have heavily debt financed their operations, and they're really struggling to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being out competed. That's the other thing, is that they're being out competed by streaming services. They've invested heavily in their own streaming services to try to survive. And they're being out competed by smaller producers. Uh-huh. And this is the really cool part, is that movie that you and I talked about, Backrooms, and the other one, Obsession.
Obsession. Yeah.
Those movies, I forget which one it was. One of them was made on a budget of like $750 million. Yep. The other one mm-hmm. was a $2 million budget, something mm-hmm. like that. And the smaller one was actually done by a guy who's a YouTuber who mm-hmm. produces original content for YouTube, basically produces a horror series on YouTube for like no money at all, and has made hundreds of millions millions of dollars off of this YouTube channel creating original content. And I really think that's the model for the future. I think when any guy with a computer and a vision can create their own content and put it up on YouTube and get millions of views, that completely undermines the control of the entire industry.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think about the old studio system, which of course hasn't really been in existence since what, the 50s or 60s, when you had the moguls running it and all of that, and then everything sort of being broken up that way, you really don't. And with technology as well, I mean, even being able to broadcast a podcast, you don't need to be in the same state or anything. Whoops, overhead PA.
Sorry.
That's okay. It does, like you said, it democratizes the whole process. And then, so like one of my favorite movies of this past year was Project Hail Mary, which was put out by Amazon Studios. And Angel, so now, Studios. Huh?
Angel Studios, wasn't it?
Project Hail Mary, I believe, was Amazon. Young Washington is Angel. And so I checked my streaming. I can now watch it again, streaming with my Prime membership. You mentioned Young Washington. That one has come out. That's put out by Angel Studios with, again, a relatively small budget. And it's kind of beaten the socks off of everything else out there. Of course, the one we've been hearing about, which is Supergirl, which I have no intention of seeing. But even if it streams, frankly, I'm mm-hmm. not interested. Which is a whole other conversation about why Hollywood is just the message and they can't get out of their own way. It's like, do you not know who your right. audience is?
And that's the other aspect. That's a huge aspect of it, right? I mean, they're losing the culture war because they are so insulated and so stuck in their bubble that they don't care if, say, having a Black Queen Elizabeth makes any sense for a historical drama series, right? They don't care, because all that matters to them is their ideology and and indoctrination, and they're losing audiences at the very same time when they're being out competed by independent operators who are disrupting the industry. And so they're not only are they failing to compete with the technology that's available to the average American, they are also deliberately shooting themselves in the foot. And not, I don't know if they realize it or not, but they just can't course correct. They can't tell a story like you were saying before.
Yeah.
They rely so much on computer generated graphics instead of practical effects. It's all, you know, sensory overload, overwhelming the sensory systems, you know, jump cutting, flashing, loud music, you know, it's all crap.
Yeah. And it disguises a multitude of sins, namely good writing and character development with characters that you care about. I mean, I kind of makes me think again of The Odyssey, and I mean the crap show that is out there. I mean, when you've got posting promo out on X and you turn off comments because the heat's getting too hot, you know you've got a problem. And people I think they're just fatigued by the girl boss trope, you know, a 5'2" woman in The Odyssey. People are done.
So important. It became so important for Christopher Nolan to save Elliot Page's career that he wasted $500 million of the studio's money on a turkey that doesn't make any sense.
But he's checked all the boxes, and it's probably Oscar bait, and he'll probably get nominated. And again, nobody cares about that anymore either.
Well, yeah. I mean, all you have to say is Elliot Page could be the first trans winner of the Best Actor Award, and there won't even be a competition.
Nope, there won't. Real quick, too, because another thing, too, is the PR out there. And of course, I'm thinking about you, Rachel Zegler, and the Snow White fiasco. You've got, and talk about living in a bubble and not realizing that the real world doesn't share your views. I love, and this happens with leftists, progressives, whatever, Democrats. They walk into a room and assume that everybody agrees with them. There's no self-reflection, no nothing. So these women, and most of the times it's these young women, go out and they fly their lips off and they say this stupid stuff and they tank their own movies. I mean, at what point do the producers have to go, well, this is poison, we need to stop this. Girls, shut up.
Or pick somebody who can speak intelligently about the merits of the movie instead of wokeism. But they're not going to do that because they're all in the same damn bubble, and they don't care. They don't care about making money. They care about making a point.
Yeah, the message. So I'm curious on how are, you know, Rob Schneider, Dean Cain, and Clifton Duncan, who have been canceled. But there's a whole market out there that is very welcoming and wants to see art and work from them.
That's right. And so they're all doing independent projects. You know, Rob Schneider, of course, is a stand-up comic, so he's able to get booked wherever he can. And stand-up comedy seems to be the entertainment space that is most friendly to conservatives, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You look at people like Adam Carolla, Nick DiPaolo, you know, those types, even Steven Crowder, right? You know, you can get a gig at a comedy club if you're good, if you're funny. You can get a gig at a comedy club and make money, you know? So
I think a lot of people, because it's been the job of the stand-up comedians to poke holes in, as Bridget Fettesy would say, to grill your sacred cows. And she's another one. If you don't catch her, she's one of my very favorites.
Oh, she was part of the festival last night, by the way. She was fantastic.
What?
She was,
like, see me turning green with envy here. I love her with the mustache, and I watch her podcast twice a week. She's fantastic.
Yeah,
and again, those are voices that we all need, and they are breaking through, I think, a lot of this, even reaching the normies.
Yeah. And that's how, like you said earlier, Dean Cain and Clifton Duncan and Rob Schneider are beating cancel culture with independent projects, relying on new technology, and the ability to go out and find your audience instead of having your audience served up to you on a platter by the studio system. That model no longer works, and they're working overtime to commit suicide on top of all of the lack of competition they're facing in the headwinds.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's any, you know, tacking over to sanity versus what they're trying to do. I don't necessarily see that. I mean, we've already, you know,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. We've already seen the destruction of beloved franchises by these clowns. I mean, Star Trek, Star Wars. I mean, it's sure. just as OG, you know, fans when we were kids, when they first came out, I mean, it pisses me off and it makes me sad at the same time because they're beloved franchises that are just the newest iterations are unwatchable to me.
They have no new ideas. And there's the thing, the biggest movies coming out of Hollywood are what? A Toy Story, what, 5? A new Minions movie? Supergirl? I mean, I'm just going, there's no new ideas. They just rehash what they've already done that was popular when it originally happened and then, you know, make it a little more... politically enhanced.
Yeah, well, and so this is what happens to institutions of all stripes, right? Whether it's a industry monopoly or an industry institution or a government institution or a nonprofit institution, whatever, you know, colleges, universities, the whole thing, right? They get so institutionalized that it's only about protecting the existence of the institution. It's not about doing the innovation that made them great in the first place. And so this is, I don't think there's ever any motivation for them to change. So I think they're stuck in this cycle and they're just going to die slowly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the world is moving on from Hollyweird. I think so. And it's going to be fascinating and exciting to kind of see what comes up next. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news. We're going to continue our conversation with Jeff on the other side. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, before we resume our conversation, we got some programming notes.
Yeah, so the Marion County Fair is officially underway.
Woohoo!
Yes, we have our booth out there. Our own Dave Suing is out there currently. Jeff, myself, I think Mike Allegor is going to be out there for a little while this weekend. And we will be broadcasting Rural Matters live from the fairgrounds tomorrow, 12 to 2 p.m., with that little break for the old Trailblazer show at 1 p.m. And then, of course, out there at our booth, we have some cool giveaways, some Mariners tickets, some oil changes, a little gift card from Amazon, as well as a digital safe.
Yeah.
Just some cool stuff. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually raffle them off. So all you got to do is stop by the KYKN booth, put your name, phone number, and email onto a little sheet of paper. We'll drop it in the box. And at the conclusion of the fair, we will be drawing names out of the box.
Cool. You don't have to buy a ticket though. So you're going to just do a drawing. Okay.
It's just a drawing. You don't got to buy anything
free
from us.
Drawing.
You got to buy a ticket. You got to buy a ticket to go into the fair though.
Yeah. So just to be clear that they don't have to.
No purchase necessary.
Purchase necessary. That is very, very cool. Also, just too, as a reminder for any of our podcasts, if you miss any of the shows, we podcast everything. You can find us out on all your favorite streaming platforms. If you have any show ideas, comments, you don't want to tell us how much you love us, or if you don't like us, you can send us that too, to newsmakers@kykn.com. But we love getting the love.
And we do have one other programming change. This Sunday, starting at 8:30, is going to be a new show, The Hope Dealer. We met with Matt yesterday. It is going to be a game changer. Just listening to him talk and hearing his story and what this is going to be all about. I think it's must listen radio.
Yeah, 8:30 is on Sundays, dropping this Sunday. The first episode is coming out. So, yeah.
Well, and we're already in a little bit of a conversation of maybe playing it on Saturday mornings as well.
Okay.
So,
all right.
We are fully behind this. It is going to be a very, a show that is going to hit a whole lot of wide range of audience, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. We did that yesterday and it was incredible. So you definitely want to put a pin in that and then put that on and click like, and because again, it'll be podcast as well. So, okay. Well, again, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds now. He's in Vegas. He's the senior editor at RestorationNews.com. So I bookmark Restoration-News.com. You've got a number of really interesting articles out there. This one caught my attention, though, Jeff. Trump can unlock a massive MAGA majority, but he must act swiftly. Now, I gave a perusal of this article, and I like the map I'm seeing as your graphic. I see lots of red.
Yes. So the idea here is to maximize the midterm redistricting or mid-census redistricting effort. We've talked about this before, right?
We have. Where,
So Florida and Texas have already done it. California did it in favor of the blue states.
Right.
Virginia tried to do it and failed because they're incompetent. Democrats don't know what they're doing in the state of Virginia, which is hilarious to me. So, but in any event, you know, the several states went through this whole thing this year and last year, and the net effect of that has been to put 10 seats that were formerly in safe Democrat districts into Republican leaning districts by redrawing the maps. And part of this also was a result of the Calais decision in Louisiana that struck down as unconstitutional the racially the requirements for racially motivated maps.
Yeah, which is why you get districts that are gerrymandered within an inch of their life, just like get this corner and this corner and a little teeny strip in there. I saw a map. Oregon stands to lose one seat. Idaho stands to gain one. So that's a red state.
Well, that's not even okay. That's a separate issue because that's not the gerrymandering. That's
congressional representation.
Right, but that's a population shift that also contributes to this, right?
Okay. Because
people are moving out of California and Washington and Oregon, and they are moving to red states. They also discovered that in 2020, the Biden administration, shocker, cheated and messed with the computer algorithms and undercounted red districts by at least four and overcounted blue districts by at least four. So we should have we Republicans should have a larger majority in Congress, except that they screwed with the census. So now they're going to go back and change all of that. And this is the big key of the article that you're talking about that's out now on Restoration News, that the 2030 census is coming up. And it's vital that a Republican win the presidential election so that we can have control of the census and make sure that everybody is actually counted fairly. You know, there are so many things that go into this, including non-citizens.
If we stopped
counting non-citizens, that would be at least another 20 seats in favor of Republicans.
Yeah. And we all know that that's happening no matter how much people want to try to gaslight us. I love that in here that you ever heard of the U-Haul index. And again, like you talked about, they're kind of two different metrics, but they do combine to make great changes. And that's why I think you're hearing messaging about how important the midterms are. We got to get our crap together to get this right.
Right. And there were a couple of red states that failed to do anything about redistricting when they had the opportunity in their legislative sessions this year. South Carolina, Indiana. There was one other, Alabama, actually. So right now we stand at having gained probably about 10 seats ahead of the midterms. If we have the Save America Act passed somehow, that would further secure elections, but that's a separate story. But the bottom line of all of this is if we properly count the census and if we maximize our efforts in the redistricting process in Republican-controlled states, the Republicans could gain anywhere from 30 to 40, maybe even 50 extra seats that are safe Republican seats that have been gerrymandered to elect Democrats over the last 60 years since the Civil Rights Act.
Well, you talk about the SAVE Act and, of course, the frustration that everybody is having, of course, with Thune and everything else is why can't they just get this done? Republicans control all, but they can't get it done. So a lot of people, I mean, we talk about voter apathy, Republican voter apathy in Oregon all the time, but is there some fatigue with all of this where people are like, it's just not going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, certainly in Oregon, that's why a lot of people are leaving.
Left, yeah.
It's you know, it's myself included, right? Yeah. It's that institutional thing that I talked about with the movie industry. When institutions get so ossified, disruptors will find a different way to compete with them and slowly sap their audiences and their resources. That's exactly what's happening to blue states. Blue states mm-hmm. are all losing population. I think of the top 10 states that lost population, 8 of them are blue states. Yep. And, you know, so people are voting with their feet. So you brought up John Thune, which made me think of Mitch McConnell. And I have to mention something
okay.
that happened here at Freedom Fest. And okay. it's not going to stay in Vegas because this is too good to not share. Kennedy is the MC of the whole event.
Senator Kennedy?
Fox News. No.
Oh, no. Kennedy.
The Fox News former VJ.
Kennedy saves the world. Kennedy saves the world. Yes.
Yep. And so she was talking. Two things happened that were funny about Mitch McConnell. One was Rand Paul was talking to the founder of this festival. And he said that, well, you know, I heard three different people say they had 20-minute conversations with Mitch McConnell yesterday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I can confirm that I have never had a 20-minute conversation with Mitch McConnell.
So what's up with Scott Jennings out there making the claim? It's just like,
I don't know, man. I don't know. But the other funny Mitch McConnell moment was Kennedy referring to the rumors of his death and making the or coining the term rigor tortis.
Oh, gosh. I died. That's yep. We're owning that. Yep.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I shouldn't have said that.
It is. Do we have proof of life? Do we even know? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we have 3 20-minute conversations, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah. Okay. It's so bizarre. It's just so bizarre. But I did not that's quite a powerhouse of folks that are out there at this conference, Jeff.
Yeah, no, it's great. We're having a blast. We're talking about liberty concepts. There's a lot. I mean, you know, it's libertarian, so you get the entire spectrum of left libertarian and right libertarian and open borders and, you know, anti-security state and all the stuff, you know, so it's it's an interesting
wacky libertarians.
Yep.
Well, I remember back in the day, it was like, well, I'm a conservatarian. You're kind of like mind melding the two of them. I know a lot of people who would call themselves that. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll come back and wrap up our conversation again. We're talking with Jeff Reynolds. He's senior editor at restoration-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're wrapping up our conversation today with Jeff Reynolds, the senior editor at restoration-news.com. He is at a libertarian-leaning conference in Vegas. It's a good mix. It sounds like it's right, left, middle. I mean, it's kind of a bit freedom lovers, critical thinkers.
Yeah, you know, I did see that the Braver Angels group is here, too.
Are they?
Yeah. So there's sponsoring some sort of debate. I might duck into that and see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, it'd be nice. I wonder, I don't even know if they're still involved, John Wood and Kieran. Kieran, I can't remember his last name, but yeah, well, we had them at a conference for the LOC that we did along probably 7-8 years ago. And they're, of course, you know, civil political discourse, regardless of the side. I know in Salem, there's a big chapter of Braver Angels. I'm really glad to see that they're there. And then what about the demographic age as far as, you know, age groups? We're seeing a lot of, everyone talks about Gen Z is kind of being red-pilled like crazy, especially the young man. Are you seeing a younger demographic there?
I would say that it's younger than your typical Republican gathering, which is octogenarian.
Hey, well, yeah, but
Yeah. No, there's a strong youth contingent. It's not like the Ron Paul days, you know, the end of the Fed days, where it was nothing but college students screaming at people. But
that's on the left now.
That's right. It's a younger crowd. There's a good mix. It's probably spread evenly across all the generations.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. We've talked on the past, of course, the big LA mayor's race and what happened over there. And I think anybody with two eyes and two brain cells to rub together can see that there was a some shenanigans going on, dare I say, some number fudging, maybe in the wee hours of the night. But of course, that was Spencer Pratt, who I wasn't really a reality. I never saw him on what was it, The Hills, but I was so impressed with this campaign. He's not going away, and I am so happy about this. I've got a Twitchy article up here. Straight fire, Spencer Pratt drops bomb of all bombs on Dems, saying, "I didn't get cheated, you did." I will go ahead and link that up in show notes. But he's bringing the fire. It's like, there was crap going on here, and I'm calling it out, and we're going to fight this, and we're going to bring down, you know, fury on all of this and expose it.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of that old quote. I forget the guy's name, but the Philadelphia mayor from the 60s who switched parties and he became a Republican. And he explained his decision by saying that a Republican is a Democrat who got mugged the night before.
Yeah,
it's, you know, the term I really like for this, you know, the modern wokeism and people who are turning to the DSA and socialism, all of that stuff is luxury beliefs.
Yeah,
where, you know, you have everything all laid out for you. You live in the most prosperous nation that's ever been known to mankind in history. And you don't have, like, even our poor people, Spencer Pratt's out there saying this, our poor people are obese and have cell phones and don't want for anything.
Air conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And so, you can afford to have these crazy ideas because you don't have to go out and hunt for your food or do your laundry at the river because you've got all these modern conveniences.
And that, you know, it's been that way for generations. I was watching some kind of a time capsule thing and talking about back in the 60s, the DSA, I forget the name, the people that were in, you know, the Bill Ayers, that whole, the Weather Underground, these people. So many of them were
SDS.
SDS. They were all trust fund babies. They're bored, rich kids.
Oh, 100%.
Do you follow Iowa Hawk Blog out on X? Because he just skewered Hassan Piker, showing a picture of a chubby little kid, Hassan Piker, on his little polo pony, who's out there, you know, railing against capitalism from his air-conditioned mansion somewhere. And that's all these kids are bored. They have nothing better to do. They're railing against capitalism on their, you know, on their iPods and from their air-conditioned penthouses. I just wonder, with social media and X, that God, Elon bought it, that there is a little bit more, there are more eyeballs on that, and people are seeing through that and aren't as tolerant of it. They're not noble. They're just not noble.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of transparency on these people who are fomenting these movements is really opening a lot of people's eyes. When you can just go out there and put Data Republican can go through all the financial donations and tie all these people together, you know, or if I can go out there and write a book and do the same thing, you know, it's the democratization. Everybody has a cell phone. Andrew Breitbart said, we're all journalists now because we all have a cell phone, but we're all also researchers and political pundits and, we have the ability to think freely based on the free flow of information. That's vital for a functioning democracy.
It really is. And especially when you see a large portion of the population who doesn't do that, who doesn't bother. And honestly, I see that on the right too, where it's like, I just got to get the hot take, man. So there's all this information. Yeah. And at what point are you rinse and receive, you know, I took a hot take on your hot take and you took a hot take on mine. Where was the original information there? It's like a game of telephone sometimes. So there is danger in that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't like the guys on the right. And you'll know who I'm talking about. I won't name names, but the guys on the right on Twitter who, you know, all caps breaking and, siren emoji and, you know, Donald Trump just landed on the North Lawn in Marine One and retweet if you love Donald Trump and make America great. And like, none of this, you're not breaking any news. Why are you using breaking in your headline?
Breaking, or, you know, anytime I see all caps, so-and-so destroyed. So we all know the patterns. We all know it. And I know exactly who you're talking about. And I don't put a lot of stock in them. But then there are others who do take the deep dives and do the hard work and dig into it and provide really good analysis. And we need more of that. But there's not a lot of money, and people don't tend to click there. And I think that's been disturbing out there in sort of the media landscape, what you're seeing.
Yeah, and that's something that we're trying to solve. That's a puzzle that we're trying to solve at Restoration News, because we're not just doing the deep dive investigative journalism. That's our backbone, right? That's what we do on the website. But we also have the magazine. We also have several podcasts now. And we're out there not just reporting and doing the investigative journalism, but we're then analyzing it and putting it into bite-sized pieces for people to be able to digest. So you can have a conversation about it, not just, you know, dry statistics and white papers, because a white paper never changed the world.
No. And frankly, I'm like, yawn. I don't necessarily want to do that. And it's funny, we're just talking about different conferences and things. I mean, literally back in the day, the old BlogCon days, we used to put out long form blogs where everybody wrote really long articles and you kind of discussed. And so we've gotten into, you know, kind of short attention span theater. So I'm encouraged to hear. And I know restoration-news.com, again, bookmark it, do it now, does that. And so I'm glad to see sort of a resurgence of that.
Yeah, and let's not make any mistake here. I am a long-form writer. If I'm under 2,000 words, it's because I'm in a hurry. I love that. But I also love the ability to just, you know, come on a show like this and have a conversation about it and chop it up and analyze things and give people a deeper understanding through the conversation.
Yeah. There's definitely a place for both. Go ahead. Shameless plug, because your book is great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's called Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. It was published in 2019. It's available on Amazon, or you can go to jeffreyreynolds.net and find a link there.
Well done. 2019, that came out. That's amazing. That was back in the, you know, before the bad times.
That's right. It's in the before times.
See, like BC is now before COVID, I guess. Well, not
that's
really.
Right.
But
that's right. But I mean, so much did change.
Oh, I know. Believe me. And that's why I'm glad to hear that it's a big topic of conversation, because we know they were trying to push hantavirus on it, and that got squelched because everyone's like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I've been on forums online where even libertarians and Republicans are like, you should just let this go. Why are you harping on COVID? I'm like, you were there. You saw all the constitutional violations and the personal liberty that was destroyed. Why are you not more pissed off?
I don't get that. We can't memory hole that at all. We need to be sort of the vanguard that stands up and reminds it so that it never happens again. Jeff, we're just about out of time with you. So you got a couple more days in Vegas. It sounds great. Have to have you back when it's all said and done, because I'm sure there's going to be more amazing stuff coming out of this conference.
Yeah, this is going to be a blast. Like I said, I've got an interview with Patrick Byrne coming up. So I'll have an article out on that. I'll have the article out on the collapse of the studio system. So a lot of good stuff going on here.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's it for us this week as well. So Hunter, have a great weekend. Everybody listening, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.